everyone. It's Claire here, and welcome to the season 3 premiere of Sit Still, Look Opinionated. It's honestly so cool to be saying that. I mean, 11 months ago when we started this podcast, we had no idea what this year would bring. For all we knew, 2020 could have brought an alien landing, the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, King Kong, and Godzilla. But instead we got COVID, and those releases got pushed to 2021. Instead, 2020 brought the pandemic, the election, and the insurrection. It's like some fucked up version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Speaking of which, the entire Midwest is covered in snow and basically looks like the opening scenes of Narnia. Now, if only the U.S. government could find 4 bright children to save us all from white supremacy, that'd be fantastic. Speaking of the government, a lot has gone down since we closed season 2. It's really only been about 2.5 months, but damn, we've been in some turmoil. In case you somehow missed it, Biden won the election, and Trump threw a deadly hissy fit about it. Biden was still inaugurated, though, with special thanks to Garth Brooks and the maskless hugs. In the meantime, the pandemic is still raging on, even though vaccines are somewhat available. So, you know, pretty average, run-of-the-mill America. But beside the news that's fit to print, we've got some news from the Sit Still studio. Whether you're new or you're a longtime listener, this season is going to sound a little different. In season 3, we'll explore more of the comedy side of this comedy and politics podcast via more bits, characters, and sketches. But do not fret, longtime opinionated people. We are still going to have our beloved deep dives. This season, you'll be getting those episodes quarterly. So if there are 12 episodes in the season, how many deep dives will there be? If you get it right, congratulations, you can do math. Which is like actually really cool because math is, you know, kind of hard, but yeah. In other exciting news, we have also launched our very own Patreon, which means that, yes, you can be a part of creating this wonderful show. With your monthly subscription, you'll receive behind-the-scenes info, more premium content, and early released episodes. We absolutely love working on Sit Still, Look Opinionated, and we wouldn't be able to do it without all of you wonderful listeners. Find out more about our Patreon and visit us at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. Once you do become a subscriber, let us know what you're most looking forward to. You can tweet us your response on Twitter at @sitstillpodcast. On top of all the fun, we're also adding the new interview segment, Chicago Artist Spotlight. During these interviews, I'll be chatting with other artists of all kinds about their careers, upcoming works, and how Chicago has impacted their artistic path. I absolutely love talking about art in literally any form, and I'm super excited to share these. That being said, I am so pumped to announce our first Chicago Artist Spotlight is the comedic musical duo Evan and Mary Jane. Stick around for this one, y'all. It's really, really fun. In my efforts to remember the feeling of warm weather, I'm channeling my inner LA and drinking a spiked kombucha. Go ahead and grab your drink and let's get started. And now, this week's headlines. Experts are calling the Texas-wide power outages the largest in state history. Because you know what they say, everything is bigger in Texas. Although pretty sure they didn't mean a snowstorm by pedestrian standards in northern climates that would cripple the state's power and water infrastructures and in turn cause price surges, thus becoming a clear example of leaning too hard on capitalism, despite the voters of Texas blaming AOC's Green New Deal that hasn't been implemented yet for the Texas private energy grid failing that's making only a few people super rich. But then again, I'm no Texan. Even though solar panels only supply 12% of Texas's power, conservatives are claiming they are fully responsible for the state's winter storm blackout. Just like cowboy hats, even though a small number of Texans actually wear them, they do make the rest of the state racist. One Texan who managed to still have power during the winter storm outage received an astronomical electric bill that they couldn't afford to pay, since they had just spent all of their savings on a trip to Cancun. In response to Ted Cruz's trip to Mexico, he blamed his children, saying he wanted to be a good dad. So we thought we would bring in our in-house dad, Tad Booz.
Claire, the whole situation has made me sick to my stomach.
I bet.
I'm a dad in Texas too, but you don't see me getting the hell out of Dodge. Not when there's all this material to work with.
Material?
For my Texas dad jokes.
Oh, no. That's not why we...
You want to hear some?
I do not. No.
Hey, Claire, what do you do when there's just too much happening on the road? You put yourself on Ted Cruz control, even though everyone knows it doesn't work.
Yikes.
On a real note, though, Claire, things are bad here in Texas. Heck, the situation has gotten so dire, locals have reverted to boiling snow. I guess you could say they have found themselves in some hot water.
Woof.
Hey, you know what I saw in the news this week?
Tell me.
They arrested the wife of El Chapo.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
They claim they could see this coming since the day they got married in that El Chapo.
Come on, dude.
Okay. I got another one.
Please, no.
Did you hear that the Biden administration has vowed to produce 3 million shots a day?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
To get everyone vaccinated.
No, silly. Because while hindsight is 2020, 2021 is old enough to drink. You get it?
Because of the 3 million shots, yes.
All right. Last piece of news, I promise.
Whatever I can do to make this stop.
I heard that Rush Limbaugh fella died this week, and despite his last name, he will not wait in purgatory, but go straight to hell.
Dear God.
I'm kidding, Claire. I voted for him.
He wasn't a politician.
You don't know.
Tad Booz, everyone. The Texas governor blamed wind turbines as the reason for the power outages. Someone should tell him they aren't actually really big fans.
Hey, that's a good one.
Your bit's over, Tad. Please leave now. The Tokyo Olympic Committee has intended to name another man in his 80s as their leader. But after his sexist remarks, they chose a woman so that he could instead run for U.S. Congress. NASA's latest rover landed safely on the Martian surface to look for signs of ancient life. But after the six-month voyage, all Perseverance wants to do is hook up with his other Mars rover buddies and have a can of oil. China's Tianwen-1 probe and rover also just arrived into orbit around Mars, where it will stay and won't attempt a landing until May, because it wants to enjoy the vacuum of space before reluctantly spending a lifetime on a dead planet. Canada is seeing a slowdown in its COVID vaccine rollout. This is due to Canadians deferring the vaccine to their neighbors because they're so damn polite. Shortly after takeoff, a Boeing 777's engine caught fire and sent debris into a Colorado neighborhood. The catastrophic engine failure was blamed on the lady in seat 22C and her oversized carry-on. That's what you get for loading it in the overhead bin lengthwise, Jenna. Are you happy? Are you happy now? You loaded in widthwise like the rest of us, you bitch. In other news, conspiracy theorists now have tangible proof that the sky is falling. The Furby has been named as one of the worst toys of all time. You know, back in my day, we didn't use Furbies. We just talked directly to Satan. Last month, General Motors announced it will only sell zero-emission vehicles by 2035 and zero-emission men by 2036. Gwyneth Paltrow has insinuated that she pioneered wearing masks. But I'm pretty sure a box doesn't count as a mask. America's privatized Oompa Loompa factory, also known as New Jersey, joined the Cool Kids Club by legalizing the use of recreational cannabis. As a result, now there's a whole new meaning to taking a trip down the shore. Daft Punk called it quits as a band. They'll be rebranding as Sensible Punk. And that was this week's headlines. With winter being the dominant season in Chicago 50% of the year, it's hard to find an excuse to go outside. And while national news often takes precedent, it is important not to ignore what's happening on the home front. Which means it is now time for another edition of Reports from Around the House. Reports of laundry being left overnight in the washing machine have been confirmed after I went to go put my laundry in the machine and there was still someone else's in it. Officials have yet to identify who the laundry in question belongs to, but I'm pretty sure it was that bitch Lauren. As we gain more information, we will be sure to update you on the situation. A trial date has been set for Helen the Cat, who was detained last year for scratching the living room sofa. Her lawyer has demanded a mistrial, stating that Helen has been treated with prejudice for being a cat, and that any charges given to her should also be given to members of the household who have spilled kombucha on the couch. The trial is set to happen in 3 weeks. In entertainment news, my internet went out for almost 2 hours the other day, forcing me to go outside. It was very cold, and I was not happy. I almost wrote a bad review for the internet company, but was unable to do so because my internet was out. Upon the return of my internet, I was able to continue binging episodes of Flea Market Flip and, ultimately, forgot about my bad review. And now to Mike with the traffic.
Thank you, Claire. In traffic this morning, my roommate decided to have an early poop, resulting in a 30-minute delay of my morning routine. There are no alternative routes open as we live in a 3-bedroom apartment with only one bathroom. Paths to the fridge and coffee maker remain unobstructed, but there is a pileup of dishes in the sink. So I recommend not eating for the next 1 to 3 days so as to avoid the responsibility of cleaning it up. Back to you, Claire.
Thank you, Mike. This just in, breaking news. Officials have confirmed the identity of the individual who left laundry in the washing machine, as in fact being that bitch Lauren. I have been assured that no disciplinary actions will be taken and advised to carry on in a passive-aggressive manner. Until next time, this is Claire Malky, signing off for Reports from Around the House. Do, 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 do.
Q, your Q, and 50 is our IQ. Thank you for calling QAnon customer support. My name, of course, is Becky. How may I assist you?
Hi, Joe Biden just tweeted something, and I'm having a hell of a time trying to make no sense of it. Can you help me?
Of course, my little patriot. Go ahead and read that tweet to me whenever you're ready.
My, what a beautiful morning. Hashtag God is good. I mean, do you see the pickle I'm in?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Let's start from the top. Do you see the first letter of that tweet, M?
Yes.
Okay, now what number of the alphabet is M?
13.
Now squish that 1 and 3 together. What do you see?
A B.
And what starts with the letter B?
Biden.
And what else starts with B?
Bad guys who are sex trafficking children and drinking their blood to maintain their youthful glow.
Very good, ma'am.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Of course. Don't forget to tweet about it. Bye-bye now. Where we go one, we go all the way without consent. Thank you for calling QAnon Customer Support. My name is Becky. How can I help you?
The science and data out there is starting to look compelling, and I don't know what to do about it.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that, sir. Why don't you walk me through how you got here?
Well, it started when I read some articles that debunked just about all of our theories.
I see. Yep, there's your problem right there. Very common. Now, when did you first start experiencing this urge to read?
Oh, gosh. Actually, I've been struggling with literacy most of my life. It runs in my family. I would read 3 to 4 articles a day. Sometimes I'd finish a whole book in just under a week. And I quit back in 2015. And then just this past month, I fell onto the wagon again.
Okay, sir. What I suggest you do is start yourself on a reduced word count diet. Start with memes, headlines, nothing too informative. And then after that, you can start transitioning to YouTube comments and tweets. Just remember, moderation is everything.
Oh, thank Trump. Really appreciate your help.
That's what I'm here for. Don't you tread on me now. Thank you for calling QAnon Customer Support.
Help! I'm at a violent alt-right protest and the police are calmly asking us to leave.
Are they being aggressive?
No.
Did you try using your Blue Lives Matter flag as a weapon against them?
Yes!
Okay, what I need you to do right now, sir, is picture yourself as an American hero.
All right.
Now put that idea in your head.
Okay, it's there.
And convince yourself it's true.
I'm Steve Rogers!
Maybe one that's a little more convincing, sir.
I'm Ben Affleck's Batman!
Not quite.
I'm Casey Affleck?
Perfect. Now, I'm going to stay on the line with you. Why don't you give that a shot?
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, copper, you wouldn't treat a BLM protester like this.
Oh, you want to be treated the same as them, eh?
Yeah!
All right.
FBI, open up!
Thank you for calling QAnon Customer Support. We are unable to answer the phone right now as our office is currently being raided by the FBI for the homemade pipe bombs we've been making for the Great Awakening. Allegedly.
And now for our interview with Evan and Mary Jane. And stay tuned afterwards for a special performance.
For our very first Chicago Artist Spotlight, we have a very special musical duo, and I will let them introduce themselves.
Hi, we are Evan and Mary Jane. I am Evan Mills.
And I'm Brittany Flynn.
And together, we are Evan and Mary
Jane. I think if I do the sarcasm at the end, it doesn't read as well. And it's just the audio.
Evan and Mary Jane, thank you so much for being on the show. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves and who you are?
We are a comedy music duo based in Chicago, but now that the pandemic has wiped the world, we are hopefully eventually going to try out some new locations, you know, New York City, LA. We haven't decided yet, but we've been performing in Chicago and that's where we met and that's where we started doing stuff together. And we've been doing stuff together for how many years, Evan?
Maybe 6 years. I think, well, we met 7.5, 8 years ago. And then we started doing this stuff maybe 20, 2014. Officially as Evan and Mary Jane, I think I would say like the end of 2014, early 2015.
Oh my God, does that mean it's 7 years?
Maybe six. This is really fun for everyone to listen to.
Yeah, if we had a baby, he would be starting school.
Well, technically.
We have a school age amount of experience working together.
Amazing. Yes, of course. Evan, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? And then Brittany will get a little intro from you as well.
Sure. Yes. My name is Evan. And I actually am from Michigan, but I moved to Chicago in 2010 for college. And I came here and I started doing film and photography. But then I kind of stumbled upon the comedy world that was Second City and started working there. And then around 2016, 2017, I was like, I kind of want to maybe try this. So I did like the Bob Curry Fellowship. And then I actually spent a summer in DC with Second City performing at the Kennedy Center. And then when I came back, I was offered the touring company. So I currently am an ensemble member for the Second City's national touring company, which was really cool because then I got to travel all over the United States for like a year until the pandemic hit. But yeah, so that's a little bit about me that I guess, you know, from a working standpoint about me, I love corgis and
especially their butts.
Yep. And yeah.
And I'm Brittany and I'm from Vermont originally. And I moved to Chicago with a friend for fun to do acting and music. And I also got sucked into the comedy world via Second City and started doing that. And met Evan working on The Night Staff, which is the dream job. And started doing comedy music with him and really liked that. And kind of realized how much I enjoyed doing music and comedy together. So stuck mostly with doing those kind of weird musicals and a lot of stuff at the Annoyance Theater in Chicago, which is a big, big group of friends and amazingly talented people. And, you know, Mick Napier, who is a psycho genius, you know, mostly just psycho now.
Oh, I also forgot to mention I wrote Queer Eye the Musical, which Brittany was also in, and we got to do that together, which was really fun because I wrote a full musical and then we got to do that for like 2 months together, and that was supposed to go on last year to bigger, better things, but with the pandemic it kind of paused our little journey with that.
Maybe it'll come back.
Who knows.
And I can say I saw Queer Eye and it was phenomenal. Really amazing. Also, for anyone who has seen it, they know there's a character, Claire, who I am exactly like that character. So no, it's perfect.
No, don't do it.
My partner saw the show with me and he literally looked at me and was laughing the whole time because he was like, that's you. Like, that is you. So, so great.
I wrote that song before you, before I even knew you. I was like,
yeah, before you even knew me.
Claire. Yes, we got it.
So how did you all meet? How did you get your musical duo started?
So we actually, it's really funny. We both started working at Second City.
In like a fun, like we're actors pay us way, but in a, yeah, as host, which is basically like, you know, you clean up after people puking in the theater and tell people to be quiet when they're drunk. Really just like the dream job. We both were doing that.
Well, Claire knows. Claire, yeah. did you know that?
No.
Yep. Yeah, Brittany, I don't think I have ever told you that, but I also was a host from 2017 to 2019. So I have also been paid $25 bonus to clean up puke.
Yes, like, you gotta get that bonus 25. That's how you know you've had a great night.
It's like a little club that we all get to experience, where whenever you work at Second City as a night staffer, you're always like, oh, you know about the bonus money to clean up puke. But anyways,
I think it's also like, I feel once you've learned that another person has also worked that job, you're like, oh yeah, what's the worst thing that's ever happened during one of your shifts? Or like, oh yeah, which celebrity did you accidentally hit in the face with a door? Jen Apatow? That's
great. Yeah. But yeah, so we worked, like we were both hosts. I started working there a few months before Brittany, and then she started working there, and then I actually trained her as a host, which is so funny. And then it was just like one of those
did a
like
terrible job.
Well, but yeah, it was one of those things where it was just like because the night staff was so close, and we'd all hang out outside of work, and then there was like one night where we were all like hanging out, and she was like, oh, you like to sing, I like to sing, and then we kind of just started hanging out and doing music stuff together, and yeah, we kind of got our first gig doing that, just like at a random show.
We had a friend who would come and hang out with us, and Evan and I would always like harmonize covers of, you know, random songs with friends, and he really liked when we sang together. So he asked us to come and do a Christmas show and do some like Christmas carol covers. And we did that. And Evan introduced us as Evan and Mary Jane. And we just kind of kept it. Even though we were not Mary Jane.
Yeah. Did that name, was that sort of an organic spur of the moment name, or does it have any meaning at all?
So it was like kind of a joke at the beginning where we would sing songs and but like with other people, and so we were like, oh, it'd be so funny if it was like Benny and the Jets, or like, you know, another.
But it was usually when we were a little under the influence of one thing or another that we would begin to sing with each other, as is, you know, common practice of singing late at night together. So that's sort of where the name came from. It was just like Evan and the Drunks, but you know, that doesn't have the same ring to it. And I also think if my nickname was the Drunks, I would be slightly offended.
True. So then they asked us to come sing. So then we were like, well, we don't want to just do our names. So just like out of nowhere, I was like, hey guys, we're Evan and Mary Jane. I'm Evan. And then she looked me dead in the eye and was like, and I'm Brittany. And I was like, and we're Evan and Mary Jane. And everyone laughed so hard. And so we were like, okay, let's try it at another show. And then it just kind of stuck. Yeah. I don't know how much Brittany loves it.
No, I do love it. It's such a bit that's like an inside joke between the two of us that 90% of our audiences don't get, that they always come up to me after and they're like, but your name's not Mary Jane. And I'm like, no, it's Brittany. And they're like, but what? Then why? So I'm like, do we really have to, after every show, we have to explain it? I guess so. This is the path we've taken.
Because I was like, I would have gladly been Mary Jane. I was like, it could have been Brittany and Mary Jane. I just accidentally said Evan and Mary Jane. And everyone's like, you're kind of a rude boy. And I'm like, no, I promise.
Evan and Mary Jane has a ring to it. We got to keep it now. It's stuck for years now. It's there.
And now you're going to be on this hit podcast. So, you know, it's everyone will know you as Evan and Mary Jane.
Now the whole world will know.
Speaking of comedy, you all are a comedy music duo. Did the comedy, does it inform your songs, or do the songs come first and then you add the comedy into it?
Interesting question. I would say we usually come up with our best, most fun songs when we've both gotten a little bit stir crazy and start rambling about something weird, and then we start singing about it, and then it becomes a song. So In terms of, like, do we start with something funny? Yes. I think we often write a song and then try it out in front of different audiences and see what gets laughs and see what doesn't get laughs and then develop it over time. And a lot of it just kind of comes out of improvisation when we're performing it live and then kind of solidifying it eventually into what we do at every show.
Yeah, we'll do like we'll get together because we'll have like a show that we have to prepare for, and we'll be like, okay, well, we have two songs that we know like that we can perform, but let's try a new song just for fun. And then, but we'll never have like a theme for that song. We'll just kind of put it out there that we want to write a new song. And then we have this song called Wedding Season, it's just about like what you go through when you're a guest at a wedding. And that came from literally sitting in Brittany's kitchen, and I looked on her fridge and I saw a save the date. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. And then we just started singing Save the Date, and then it turned into a full song.
Save the date. 6 months from now, save the date. When we say our vows, it's wedding season. You sort through your mail, bills, bills, and a coupon. Then you see.
And so, like, so yeah, like things like that happen organically, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, I think with that song, it, from where it started in the kitchen, just singing Save the Date and just harmonizing and coming up with pretty things. And then the overall theme of the Save the Date, which I think was like going to weddings or marrying bad people. Wasn't that the original song? Was like, we married girls? Yeah. And then it turned into guests at weddings. So the theme of the song often changes dramatically as we perform it more.
And that's definitely a part of the comedy experience, is that organic, improvised, especially from Second City, you know, the improv to sketch format is, you know, part of the Chicago vibe, I want to say. So with that in mind, I know you all just talked about your process a little bit. But does the city of Chicago influence your music at all, or is it a part of your music at all? And it's okay if that's no.
I'm sitting here trying to think of all the things we've written, and like a lot of it, I don't know if it necessarily comes from Chicago. I think the Chicago only just comes from the fact that we met here and that we are here. But everything else is kind of pulled from our past or things that we can relate towards each other. And I know sometimes our songs do involve Chicago, because you have to incorporate like transportation and like trains and cabs. I feel like if we didn't live in a city like this, we probably wouldn't write songs about Ubers and Lyfts and L trains and, you know, bus stops and stuff.
I mean, we do have a song where I believe we reference someone pooping in a train, which is a Chicago experience. Anyone who's lived in Chicago has had the poop train car. It's just a rite of passage, yeah. Much like rats. But I do think that there's something that can be, like, we wouldn't have had, I don't think, the same success if we had met and started in a different city, because Chicago is such a comedy community. Like, there is such a good base there, and there were places that wanted to hear our comedy music. I don't know how common that would be if we had met and tried doing it in another city. And I think we had the wonderful opportunity of having so many different venues that we could go to too, and so many different kinds of shows. And like, we've, you know, open for like burlesque comedy, and we've opened for improv, and we've opened for other musicians, and just really cool shows we've gotten to do. So in that way, I think we've been influenced greatly by other comedic people who we've been around and seen. But as far as like, do we have songs that's like, Chicago is warm, but we are cold, whatever. No, we don't necessarily have that song.
I love that. Yeah, with Chicago, with all of the venues, that is definitely something that I really love about this city, that there are so many places. But as we know, unfortunately, we're still in this pandemic, and 2020 has been a really weird year for performers. Has 2020 changed your music career at all, or changed or impacted it in any way?
Well, I live in Vermont now. It's definitely just greatly impacted us, I think, because we've had to figure out how from two different states we can still be recording and performing together. And we've done it. And it's fun and very challenging, especially because, you know, the dogs in the background and things like that. It's definitely influenced it in that way. Like, all of our shows, we have two separate backgrounds and we're very clearly in different places, and we're so used to performing live that it's a completely different thing now. But it's kind of a fun challenge to get into.
Yeah. It's like, we, for so long, we were doing, truthfully, we were doing like 3 to 4 shows a week, sometimes more. And so we got so used to not really like putting stuff online right away, because we were just always doing live shows and we were always able to like tweak stuff and do stuff on the fly. And so like, I feel like 2020 kind of pushed us in the direction of online content, which is something that we've always wanted to do, but like never really had the time because we were constantly performing live. And we both had like jobs that like my job made me travel a lot and all that stuff. And now that we're like grounded, it's very interesting because quarantine and the pandemic got me to like buy a microphone and get a new laptop and get new software. And just because like I have all this time and I'm like, well, let's do something about it. And so we're like learning how to like adapt to that. And it's like, it's like slower, but it's happening. And we've done online shows, which is really interesting. But yeah.
Not to mention everybody is stuck at home for a great chunk of the time, you know. Well, I don't want to say everybody, but responsible people. But people are spending a lot more time at home, finding more time at home. And they are looking for online content and stuff. You know, people are glued to their phones a lot more and screens a lot more. So having stuff be online and having, you know, we hope to get our stuff on Spotify soon, and which we should have done forever ago. But, you know, like Evan said, we were busy. We were busy then. Now we have time. And we have time, and now we have people who would be interested and looking, and hopefully would stumble upon us.
Yeah, that gift of time is such a strange gift that we're all embracing in different ways. Brittany, are you planning on moving back to Chicago, or are you just staying in Vermont for the foreseeable future?
No, Vermont was sort of a plan for like 6 months to a year or something like that when I first was thinking about it. I think that is still what I'm going to stick to. The question of whether or not I'll go back to Chicago is sort of dependent on what the scene looks like there when I've sort of wrapped up things on this end, because Evan and I have been talking about potentially moving to New York. Evan, I know Evan really wants to move to New York, and I would do that. So I think the next move would be to a different city, and or maybe try for a tour or something, you know, if that becomes something that's safe and doable in the future. Because I think continuing to work together is definitely on the table. It's definitely something we both plan to want to continue to do. That wasn't an English sentence. Okay.
And I think that is one thing that can be really beautiful about this time is that we can be all in different places and we can still record and put out content and create art, which, you know, silver linings, which I try to hold to in this time especially. Well, you all have been so wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Where could we find your music? Is there any place that we can direct our audience to if they want to get a good listen of Evan and Mary Jane? Also, do you all have anything you want to promote?
Yeah, well, so for Evan and Mary Jane, I think like the best place to see a lot of our content is probably our Instagram. It's where we've been uploading a lot of our videos. So it's just Evan and the word and, Evan and Mary Jane on Instagram. And then from there, there's like a YouTube link that takes you to our YouTube. And then, yeah, like Brittany said, we're going to try and get stuff on Spotify this year since we have the time and the equipment now.
We have a few recordings done already, which is a blessing for sure. And we just have to actually get them uploaded and good quality so people will enjoy listening to them. We also Evan's been doing some solo stuff. He just came out with a video.
Yeah, I just released a single, called Sissy Boy. And I have another one coming out in February that I've been working on with John Love, who's a Chicago musician as well. So that's just the things I've been doing to keep my time occupied.
We're just doing music left and right. But yeah, hopefully we have stuff on a YouTube channel. We have an Instagram. And hopefully very soon we'll also have Spotify for Evan and Mary Jane. So
yeah,
that'll be great.
Amazing. Well, we will definitely let our listeners know about this. Thank you so much for coming on Sit Still, Look Opinionated. And we will hopefully listen to you all very soon.
Thank you. We hope so too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes.
And now, Evan and Mary Jane.
Last weekend while out to brunch, Jenny turned to me. She said, "Did you hear about Michelle? She's getting a divorce from Jeremy." Gossipy brunch. Mimosas and gossip, gossip and brunch. Gossipy brunch. Champagne and secrets. Don't tell your secrets to Jenny. Last weekend while out to brunch, Jenny turned to me. She said, "Did you hear about Alan? He's sleeping with an entire Filipino family." Gossipy brunch. And gossip, gossip and brunch. Gossipy brunch. Champagne and secrets. Don't tell your secrets to Jenny. Last weekend while out to brunch, Jenny turned to me. She said, "Did you hear about Norbert? He accidentally left his baby in a hot car." Don't tell your secrets to Jenny. She'll tell everyone she knows. And sometimes when she's with a stranger, she'll tell people she doesn't even know. Don't tell your secrets to Jenny. Jenny was home with the flu. Linda said, "Don't worry, friends, I have gossip for you. Eva's got a new hat." Linda, that's not gossip. You're just stating a fact. This brunch is super boring. We want Jenny back. Brunch.
gossip and brunch. Gossipy brunch. Champagne and secrets. Linda's bad at secrets. And we're all drunk.
And that's all for today. If you have any questions or comments about today's episode, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Instagram at sitstill_lookopinionated. And now on Twitter at sitstillpodcast. And make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you didn't hear that right, please write a review. Please, please, please write a review! This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and Claire Malky. And written by myself, Claire Malky, Michael Dritto, Fee Basanyavichis, and Gabriel Scavor. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter. Research by Ross Black. This program is partially supported by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council Agency. If you would like to support this podcast, please visit and subscribe to our Patreon page linked in the show notes. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye!